This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. State Representative Eric Nesbitt is seeking a third term in the Michigan House. The Republican represents all of Van Buren County, as well as Northwest Kalamazoo County in the 66th District. Eric Nesbitt, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having me on again, Gordon. Always a pleasure.
Please tell our audience what you would do if you got another 2 years in the State House.
Yeah, the last 3.5 years been really working to create jobs, concentrated on ending regulatory burdens. We've eliminated nearly 2,000 rules and regulations. There's a lot more work to do with that. We've paid down $20 billion of debt. There's still $45 billion of long-term debt and liability in the state that needs to be paid down so our children and grandchildren aren't stuck with the bills of yesterday's politicians overspending and overpromising, and really need to continue to work on continuing improvements on our tax code. Those are the big issues, along with our energy issues. I chair the Energy and Technology Committee, and I think there's still a lot of opportunities to make our costs more competitive here in the state. We have to respond to the new EPA rules that are coming down from the federal level. And then after this last winter, I think there's more work to do in terms of next mile natural gas expansion and allowing more individuals in rural areas access to a lower cost natural gas.
If you were going to start with a blank slate on the state's tax system, how would you want to redesign it? In other words, and with the idea of bringing in approximately the same amount of revenue we do now, what are the things you'd like to maybe tax a little more? What are the things you'd like to dial back taxes?
Yeah, I'm somebody who, when you look at tax reform overall, look at fairness, efficiency in the tax system. I think we've came a long ways in terms of the business tax climate. Before, small businesses were taxed really three times between their businesses, the Michigan business tax, the surcharge, and then taxed on their individual levels. The small businesses are now taxed once at a flat individual income rate, and then corporations. Before, they had dozens and dozens of loopholes and exemptions and special credits, and now that's a 6% flat corporate income tax rate. So we moved from a bottom five state to a top 20 state. We've come a long ways with that.
Personal according to whose numbers there in terms
tax
of
tax foundation.
Okay.
Yeah. So tax foundation has had us ranked at 47th, and we're in seventh now in terms of our competitiveness with our business tax system. There's still more work to do on personal property taxes in terms of broadband development, for example. It really punishes new technology, the current system of personal property tax. We're doing a phase out on manufacturers that the voters had a say in. And I think after you invest in having to pay taxes for years going in the future, it's a real challenge. In terms of the individual income tax, I believe we have had a flat income tax since the late 60s. There's been three different statewide ballot proposals on going to a progressive tax, which I oppose going to a progressive income tax. But I think overall, in terms of the work of getting to a flatter, fairer, more efficient tax code, we've come a long ways, but there's still some more work to do, as I said, especially in terms of dealing with the personal property tax issue.
Do you want to cut taxes further, either for personal income tax or for businesses?
I think as you look at it, the most destructive tax is the individual income tax because it taxes people in terms of their work. It would be nice to continue to see some movement on that as part of the tax reform package, but again, it's something that needs to be done in a responsible manner as we continue to move forward.
Responsible manner, meaning you'd have to find the...
Well, it's one of those things where in 2011, when I came in, we were dealing with a $1.5 billion deficit. It was a structural deficit that went back for years and years throughout the last decade. And not trying to play the blame game, but it was something where we had to make real tough decisions and making sure that we brought the budget into balance. And paying down debt, investing in roads and transportation and education have all been priorities, but over the last 3.5 years, we've been able to do both the tax reform in a responsible manner in terms of making it fairer and more efficient, concentrating on job growth, and also in terms of our investments, in terms of the budget. We've put in over another $500 million into our roads and transportation to the general fund without a tax increase. And that's something where the House passed a plan earlier this year to enhance transportation, you know, funding, get us at an additional $500 million a year into state roads, and it's done in a responsible manner. In 2011, I remember when we were passing what was it was a tough budget, but we had to get to a point of stopping, you know, overspending and paying down debt. And we've moved the rainy day fund from less than $2 million, which was about how much the Lawton Public Schools had in their rainy day fund at the time, to over $500 million today. Credit ratings improving, and the job picture is improving slightly, but there's a lot more work to be done on, you know, both in terms of the regulatory front, and I'd say continued work on the tax reform front.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans, speaking with State Representative Eric Nesbitt. The Republican represents all of Van Buren County and Northwest Kalamazoo County in the 66th District. He's seeking his third term in the House. Let's get to energy. You have long been a proponent of exploring for and extracting natural gas. Of course, this leads to the debate over hydraulic fracturing or fracking. How safe is it to get natural gas that way?
Some of the areas, I led the subcommittee on natural gas in my first term as chair. It was an ad hoc committee. We produced a report. I'd encourage people to take a look at that report from the State House. You just go to www.repnesbitt.com. That's R-E-P, Nesbitt. .com, and the subcommittee's report's on there. And we wanted to examine to see, you know, in terms of the production, in terms of midstream delivery, and also end use on natural gas. It's 40% the carbon content of oil or coal. And it's also, in terms of, you look at the commodities over the last 7 years, it's only really one of the few commodities that have really went down in price. We were paying about $14 for a million BTUs in 06, 07. Today, it's around $4 for a million BTUs. This has helped manufacturers in the state. For example, Dow Chemical said they'd never again build another chemical facility in the United States because of the price of natural gas. Over the last few years, they've invested over $10 billion in terms of expansions at some of their chemical plants around the U.S., a Michigan-based company. You know, used to be investing in the Middle East because of the price of natural gas there. Now they're reinvesting in the United States. The New York Times just had an article on the Midwest manufacturing renaissance because of energy prices and energy security. We want to keep clean air, clean water, and clean land. You know, these are definitely priorities. In Michigan, we've had over 60 years of hydraulic fracturing that has happened, nearly 13,000 wells over the last 60 years. A lot of people don't know that we're 13th in natural gas production out of the states in the U.S., 18th in oil production. I remember my dad telling me in the 50s and 60s, in the back 40 on our land, there used to be actually a little oil well back there. And so looking at Michigan, we treasure, you know, our Great Lakes, we treasure our water resources, and we're considered to have some of the toughest regulatory environment through the Department of Environmental Quality nationally. Over the last 4 years since I've been on the Energy and Tech Committee, the Department of Environmental Quality has updated their rules and regulations. And I dropped fracturing twice. New mandates are coming down saying that they have to do pre-water well testing and making sure that, you know, anything that's a cause, and that we make sure we find and go after those oil and gas companies, hard and effectively.
Yeah, however, let me stop you for just a moment, because earlier on you were talking about reducing regulations that might get in the way of economic development. So how do you balance that then with what you're talking about in terms of we treasure our Great Lakes and our natural resources here in Michigan?
Yeah, and this is something in terms of ensuring that our environment is protected. There's certain roles for regulation. What I was talking about earlier is when you have redundancy and when you have overlap and when you have old licenses that aren't needed anymore. In terms of the industry, in terms of extraction, this is, our natural resources and mineral resources are owned by all the citizens of the state. And the unique thing here in Michigan is that when you do lease sales of state land or bonus bids, this all goes to the Natural Resources Trust Fund or the State Parks Fund to protect our environment, to purchase land for permanent preservation. You see projects such as the Calhaven Trail, such as projects along Lake Michigan where land, has been purchased to prevent development. Just in Van Buren County, This year we approved purchase of 400 acres of land to permanently be preserved as part of the DNR's wildlife production areas to ensure access for future generations for not just hunting and fishing, but bird watching and other things. So there's real money being created from it, but it also you need to make sure it's done safely and effectively. And that's something where even the EPA says they haven't found one case of underwater contamination, but we need to make sure that we do have the proper regulatory environment that, you know, because I don't believe that environmental protection and economic development are mutually exclusive.
Let me ask you about what has gone on with Aramark and the prison food system. There was a story just out today or yesterday in the Detroit Free Press that Aramark was supposed to be fined $98,000. The Department of Corrections didn't actually collect the money, decided to let them, as they say, address the problems themselves. What sort of lessons does this give going forward when the state is considering privatizing services?
And whenever you competitively bid a service or a product, you need to make sure you have the proper oversight and complete oversight of what's going on. And this is something where I'd say that current employees, you know, should have the same opportunity in terms of bidding for that project. And it's not just always cost. It also needs to be looked at in terms of quality. And if people, you know, if people mess up, they're not following their contract, that there has to be punishment and harm or changes made. We want to be efficiently and effectively managing the resources and the taxpayer money that we're entrusted with from the taxpayers around the state. And there's a certain level of service that those taxpayers expect for providing their hard-earned money to provide these services, whether that's in education, whether that's in roads and transportation, whether that's in other state services, such as making sure the bad guys are locked up. That does not include having maggots and food, though. And that's something where I would like to see more, you know, more being addressed on that issue. And I have talked to the appropriations chair to see, you know, what kind of not just, you know, punishments, but also changes are going to be going down. I mean, people shouldn't be, you know, free to fly how they want. These are, government services that are offered. And if it's a government contract, it needs to be followed through.
You are seeking your third term in the House. That is all that you're currently allowed under the Michigan Constitution because of the amendment approved by voters back in 1992. Do you think that Michigan has it right on term limits, or do you think that the system could stand to be changed? Would there be improvements you would like to see?
Term limits were passed So 1992. California did an interesting thing where they, because currently you're allowed to serve up to 14 years.
Six in the House, eight in the Senate.
Six in the House, eight in the Senate. And California, and I'm not usually a big fan of following California's lead on everything. However, they did what I'd consider a hybrid system where you could serve up to 12 years in any combination of office.
So it could be 12 in the House, could be 12 in the Senate, could be split between the two in any denomination.
And I know there's some that has proposed, you know, having it at 16 or 14. And you know, so currently you're at 14 years, and it's something where you see in terms of regional cohesion that all of a sudden you're done with your, you know, 6 years. You see it from some members, or 4 years, that you see kind of a breakdown in terms of some regional cohesion because you're running against two other members within your area for a state Senate seat. And so I think that's something where part of the discussion's been out there. I think it's a unique opportunity to, you know, to look at, but anything would have to be passed by the voters at the end of the day. And I think part of the discussion would be, you know, a hybrid system that would allow a bit more flexibility, you know, without having folks that have been there for 40 years.
Eric Nesbitt, thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Eric Nesbitt is running for re-election in the 66th District. The Republican currently represents all of Van Buren County and Northwest Kalamazoo County. Links with more information and longer versions of interviews on West Southwest can be found at WMUK.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.